Mom deserves the best, and there's no better place to shop for Mother's Day than Whole Foods Market. They're your destination for unbeatable savings, from premium gifts to show-stopping flowers and irresistible desserts. Start by saving 33% with Prime on all body care and candles. Then get a 15-stem bunch of tulips for just $9.99 each with Prime. Round out Mom's menu with festive rosé, irresistible berry chantilly cake, and more special treats. Come celebrate Mother's Day at Whole Foods Market.
Planning for your next trip? Elevate your travel style with Quince. Quince has all the jet-setting essentials you'll want for your next getaway, like European linen, premium luggage options, buttery soft Italian leather bags, and so much more. And it's all priced at 50 to 80% less than similar brands. Plus, Quince only works with factories that use safe and ethical manufacturing practices. Pack your bags with high-quality essentials you'll be wearing for vacations to come with Quince. Go to quince.com/trip for free shipping and 365-day returns.
Mom deserves the best, and there's no better place to shop for Mother's Day than Whole Foods Market. They're your destination for unbeatable savings, from premium gifts to show-stopping flowers and irresistible desserts. Start by saving 33% with Prime on all body care and candles. Then get a 15-stem bunch of tulips for just $9.99 each with Prime. Round out Mom's menu with festive rosé, irresistible berry chantilly cake, and more special treats. Come celebrate Mother's Day at Whole Foods Market.
Hello and welcome to the round 10 edition of Supercoach Edge. My name's Damon and I am joined by my co-captain in Liam. Now Liam, we're heading towards the buys and we're almost halfway through the season already, believe it or not. It sure has gone quick. But I think given both of our performances in the first half of the year at least, probably not quick enough.
Yeah, true. Very true. Just get through the season. Get through the season right now.
1 week at a time, as they say.
Especially with where I'm ranked. But it's great. Now, on top of having missing players just left, right and center with COVID and illness, now I have to contend with the buys too.
Yay!
But
how good is it?
You know what? I mean, it's not good, not good, not good. I'm just going to ignore the buys, pretend they're not happening this year. Is it? We'll chat about that a bit later.
But yeah, we'll
you know what is? You know what is exciting, Damon?
What's second that? Round Something's of DPP.
Yeah, second round of DPP selections arriving next week. So there's some exciting prospects that we'll chat about later in the episode as well.
Yes, it's something that I'm looking forward to, especially to offset the Great Depression of the Supercoach season, almost the bye period. It's very it's one of those things where you just don't look forward to it coming up. I mean, there are those people who do their homework, and props to them, but it's very hard to try and account for. But we'll cover off all that and more, but first, let's jump straight into our first segment, which is, of course, the good, the bad, and the ugly.
In the good, the bad, and the ugly, we run through a quick recap of how our respective teams have formed and the players that stood out for both good and the bad reasons. Now, I start this segment yet again, shockingly. It's just not been my year. We'll delve into it a bit in a second, but another score of below par, 2,254, literally leaves me with an overall rank of 29,056 overall. And I feel like I can't take a break. I had to deal with injuries. So this was my week. I'd use the three trades. I had Steele, Caldwell, and Whitfield this week. And then on top of that, I also had Ridley missing due to health and safety protocols. Just, you know what, when it's not your year, it's really not your year, is it?
No, that is, you couldn't be any stiffer. Like I said in many episodes ago, Liam, if you're any stiff, you'd be as stiff as me watching Walshy go about his business every week. But yeah, it's terribly stiff.
It's tough. But we go on. I think at this stage, as I sort of mentioned at the start of the episode, I'm going to be focusing less on overall ranking at this stage and focusing more on my leagues. especially over the buys, but we'll chat about that strategy a bit later as well. Onto my trades, as I mentioned, I had Steele, Caldwell and Whitfield all out with injury. And for them, I brought in Laird, who scored relatively well, Doherty, who did not score relatively well, and Clark, who went okay. I'll give him a pass mark there. Yeah. Onto the good, Cogs.
Yes.
How did he go? Very well. Bounced back in a very, very big way. We all thought he would absolutely hemorrhage cash, but he didn't. He only decreased by 2.7K. I think his break even was 146 and he scored 140. Just amazing. Such a big increase in his CBAs, and it just resulted in an increase in scoring. So very glad I held. I mean, I don't think I'd be expecting that week in, week out of 140, but if he can, you know, maintain a sort of 90-odd average, I'll be happy. And I think he's definitely in the keeper category. Onto the bad. Unfortunately, it was on debut, Doherty. Brought him in, thought it, you know, just to his, due to his week, his this week, sorry, due to his strong scoring and just that reliability. But it did bite me a little bit. But I'm happy with the trade nonetheless. I think it was just a bit of a down week. He did cop that knock from Kennedy. So I don't know if that had a bit of an effect on his scoring overall, but yeah. Hopefully he bounces back in a big way. And onto the ugly, and it is Took Miller. Not happy. And you know what? When I'm struggling, like I am, I really need my midfield primos to come out and score well, not score sub 60. But as I said, I just can't take a break this year, which is unfortunate. But let's move on from me and straight on to you, Damon.
Yes, I didn't really do too much better, really. In terms of, I was hoping to crack the 2300 mark. That's almost par for me at the moment, even though par is probably closer to 2400 as we found out. But I ended up scoring 2310, so just limped over the line. Overall ranking now sit at 14,089th overall. Slipped, I say only 969 spots because I was expecting a drop of like 2+K. Or take 2K plus, I should say. So thankful it wasn't worse than that. In terms of the trades, so I was hit by injuries, but obviously not as bad as you, Liam. You've absolutely copped it in recent weeks. So I think you've actually got a bit of a haul pass, I think, over the past few weeks. You've had to burn through trades, and there's nothing worse as well. Must make mention, when you have plans in place and you just get derailed by, you know, as we've seen, illness especially, which has come from nowhere. And we never would have thought that illness would be almost trumping COVID at the moment, which I think it is. So yeah, that's absolutely insane. But in terms of my injuries, it was very much along the same lines as yourself in terms of Steele, of course, getting injured, and Whitfield as well. But probably a silver lining, a blessing in disguise, I think, because was forced to trade him out, and he was on the outer very much so. But I was looking to keep him. Very much like I did with Cogs as well, because without Liam Cameron there, I thought might see an uptick in scoring, and there still might be upon return, but had to deal with both of those guys and then had to, I guess, downgrade someone to a rookie, which the trades were Steele to Laird. So I brought in Laird, was fortunate. I think it was late in the last quarter. Laird was actually tracking for a score of 80-odd. And I thought, what are the odds, really? He's been one of the most consistent primos all season. And thankfully, he had like a crazy 5 minutes in the end and burst out of the blocks and ended up scoring just over 100, which was passable, considering that's if that's his floor. Traded Whitfield to Sinclair. So that was a silver lining right there. Sinclair came back and scored, I don't know, it was 130-odd. Did pretty well there. But if I was in your position, Liam, if I didn't have Doherty, I probably would have done the exact same thing as you and traded in Doherty because he had the runs on the board. And that's kind of what you want to hang your hat on. He's got more of a sure base there. So I was very fortunate that I already had Doc, in the sense that I could bring in Sinclair, but obviously he has Docs and he scored like crap. And then the other downgrade was Stevens to Clark, which was the most popular, I guess, downgrade trading of the week in terms of the good. So as you touched on there, the man known as Cogs bounced back in a big way, posting a 140, and again continued the line of the primos that we've held faith in over the journey.
Yeah,
Grundy did, Gorn did it, who's now gone to shit a bit, but there's been a few there, Steele as well. So he adds onto that line of primos that have repaid the faith, and it's really surprising that 10% of people actually traded him. So in that sense. Happy to get a little bit of a leg up over those that did just that. So we just hope that his form continues. He's not going to play West Coast every week, as we know, but we'll touch on in terms of, I guess, the pros when it comes to Cogs very, very shortly. Sinclair probably gets that honourable mention on debut for my team, smashing out that 138 as replacement for Whitfield. So, yeah, he's probably one guy who I was hoping was going to turn it around in Whitfield, and could only dream of that sort of score. But in terms of the bad, Helicrypter, I think he's running short on fuel on the weekend and had to make an emergency landing on just 78. So that was probably, I think it was his lowest score or thereabouts in a solid win by my mob in Carlton, which was quite surprising. So just looking at his breakdown in scoring and stats, he had 7 clangers, which didn't help his cause, and then he also had 5 frees against. So at least we know there's some rhyme and reason to his poor score there. So hopefully he can turn that around on the weekend. In terms of the ugly, goes without saying, I think, the running man. He became the crawling man, I'm going to call him, for the weekend, because he crawled to an agonizing 59. But I think he can be forgiven, as it is very much out of character.
Yeah.
With his lowest score of the year, largely due to poor disposal and 6 clangers, very much like the Helicrypter. But let's just, I don't know, let's have a look at the head-to-head, but we probably shouldn't pay too much attention to this anymore. Probably more so, probably just to our leagues, but we'll do it. We'll do it for, I guess, just, you know, we've started it, so we'll continue it throughout, but not going to gloat in any way.
Oh, you probably should. But you've got the 8 wins. I've got the 2 losses. Sorry, you've got the 8 wins and 2 losses. I've got the 2 wins and 8 losses. And there's a point differential of 329.
Still gettable. Still gettable. So I'm not going to rub salt in the wound at all, because I'm having a shit year just as much as you. So there's no reason to gloat in any sense. But there were a few talking points to come out of the weekend, Liam.
Yeah.
So let's have a little close look at what they were in the week that was. I don't care if Monday's black, Tuesday, Wednesday, hard to tell. Thursday, never looking back, it's Friday, I'm in love. In the week that was, we keep you up to date on the key talking points of the round. Damon, do you want to touch on the biggest talking point? Yes, the biggest talking point from the weekend came in the form of Cogs, who we just spoke of, who was back in form posting that 140. And most pleasingly, his CBA has actually rose to 59%, which, believe it or not, is actually his equal most for the season since round 2. And it shows really what we've been saying all along, that you know, this is the sort of form he can produce when played in his natural position. So Leon, if you're tuning in, and you should be, because this is how you actually coach a team, in a super coach sense. But I know some people have come out and said off the back of his score on the weekend that, and probably rightfully so, that, you know, you should temper expectations, as this is obviously 1 week sample. And the fact that the team, you know, is playing West Coast, not going to play them every week, of course. And the team didn't have Taranto or Hopper playing on the weekend. However, I want to counter this with the fact that the Giants had non-regular players in the engine room in Tanner Bruin, who had 38%. Mm. Zach Spruill with 24%, Toby Green, surprisingly, with 22%, and Perryman, which was interesting as well, with 51%. Mm. So I think all those guys who are non-regulars are going to lose their CBAs upon return before Cogs. So I'm not too worried at the moment. So I don't know, it kind of just makes sense. Like, he's probably throwing a few hats in the ring, McVeigh that is, and working out who wants to put their hand up for potentially some regular minutes in the engine room, and who performed the best in his first week. But anyway, it's all in all good to see the thorn in, I'm going to call it the thorn in Cog's foot, otherwise known as Leon Cameron, is no longer holding him back.
Yes. Yes. Thank God for that. But I think, I don't think you should ever expect a 140 from Cog's week in, week out. But, as I said, I'm happy if he sort of scores in those 90s, you know, starts averaging about that. I mean, he's currently averaging, I think, 91 off the top of my head. But you'd expect that if he can continue averaging around that mark, I'm happy for the rest of the season. But on to some less good news, and it's some big injury news also breaking as we record this, and that is from Geelong have confirmed that Dangerfield will be out until after the mid-season bye following a calf injury, which saw him subbed out on the weekend after only just returning from illness. The Cats could choose to keep him out beyond that if his fitness doesn't progress as anticipated. But let's cast our minds forward now. Let's think forward to next week. Not only do we have the spectre of the three bye weeks looming as a giant cloud over us, yes. On the horizon, a cloud on the horizon. Yeah. We're just, it's all sunshine now. We're looking towards this. The good times are now and the bad times are ahead.
Sunshine and double rainbows, almost triple rainbows.
Don't look too far ahead because it's some dark storm clouds coming. But it's offset by the positive news that we'll be gifted with some valuable DPP changes. So first up, before we jump into the buys and the trading strategy, let's discuss those gunning potential DPP additions in our segment, Changes.
Very good. I like that rendition there.
Thank you.
Very, very David Bowie of you, or one of the many bands that covered it. But from the top, the potential two big additions in this second round of DPP changes comes in the form of both Marcus Bontempelli and Basilenka Bailey-Smith, who are in line for forward mid status. And just to touch on, what the criteria is that's needed in order to get that eligibility, they need to have played an average of 35% of their time in another position outside of their designated positional status. And in order for this to be counted, they actually need to start in this, I guess, foreign position at set and bounces and stoppages in general play. And you touched on, Liam, as well, pre-show, in terms of what that means. Like, that doesn't mean if the ball's in the forward 50 and a midfielder is at a stoppage, it's not counted.
Yeah, no. So they'd have to, that would be, yeah, if you're at a stoppage as a midfielder in the forward line, or I assume in defense as well, that's not classified as forward time or defensive time. Yeah, so it's sort of just that would still be midfield time, essentially.
And courtesy of some numbers crunched by the great data man that is Bryce Mitchell on Twitter, Bont sits at 38.8% time forward, while Baz is on 34.7%. So they are both all in Bont's side of things. Anyway, he is above that 35% threshold, whilst Baz is teetering just below it. And it does mean that at minimum, on the weekend coming up, Bont needs to play just 1% of game time forward, whilst Baz needs 3%. So unless Bevo does us dirty, and he might just do that, we know what he's like, and has both players spend all their time in the middle, they are very likely to be given forward/mid status. So in terms of trading over the, this weekend and over next weekend, potentially, something to keep in mind, because you might be able to swing whatever play, if you're trading a midfielder to Bont or to Baz, just keep in mind that if you have already a swing between forward and mid, you'll be able to switch them into the forward line.
Yes, definitely one to look out for. And let's have a look at some other locks in some other positions and other players. We've got Connor Rosie, Damon's Burnman of years gone by, to be given mid-forward status, having had 49% time in the forward line, in the 49% of time in the midfield prior to round 10. Hobbs, he sits at 72% time forward before round 10, and McComb sits at 57% time forward prior to round 10 as well. So both are virtually locked to be given forward and mid status, which will be very handy. And Darcy Cameron will also be given forward ruck status, you'd expect, having had a 46% ruck prior to round 10. I don't know. He surely gets it based off that.
Yeah, even on the weekend, like Mason Cox, of course, was touted to be the first choice ruck and then went off, I think it was in the first quarter or thereabouts, and then he rucked for pretty much 80% of the game. So he is well and truly getting that ruck status, that's for sure. In terms of outsiders or players that are just on the cusp, who, I guess, depending upon how they went on the weekend and coming up this weekend as well, may be given an extra DPP status, but depends on where they're played. So Gorn is an outside chance. He's one of those in potentially being gifted a forward ruck status, having had 28% time forward prior to round 10. Don't know how much he had on the weekend because it obviously isn't counted in this data set as yet because it hasn't been released by Champion Data. But fingers crossed, He plays a bit of time, so he needs to make up based off that 7% extra game time forward in order to be eligible. The other player is Jaden Short, who is an outside chance also for defensive midfielder status, having had 23% time in the midfield prior to round 10. And I think he played a fair bit of time in the midfield for the Tigers on the weekend. Let me just have a quick squeeze, pull it up. And we have, he had 41% of game time in the midfield. So who knows, especially this weekend as well. But I think he needs to obviously make up a bit more ground compared to Gorn anyway, if we're comparing the pair right there. But yeah, I mean, overall, looking at all those chances, especially the ones that are locks, looks like we're going to have some much needed reinforcements up forward, which looks like a wasteland at the moment in terms of, I guess, primos or sure picks on offer. English is coming back reportedly this weekend, so there's another good bit of reinforcement. But I know we're both in the same camp, Liam. We were chatting about guys that we've got marooned in the forward line, and we have no that are DPP, and we don't have any DPPs in the midfield. I'm gifted that I have Hobbs and McDonald, but at least now it means... Oh, sorry, McDonald, not Hobbs. Hobbs hasn't got it yet. But when Hobbs is gifted that DPP status, you can then swing him forward, because at the moment, having to rely on Rioli as the F6 gives me the heebie-jeebies. I don't know about you.
Yeah, likewise. So it'll be interesting to look at some of the strategies that we've got up our sleeve now, just with some more DPP status coming for extra players, which would be nice.
Very nice. Well, Liam, let's throw to next segment and chat about, we'll touch on, of course, the players to look at trading in, trading out, and we'll touch on the buy status of these players as well, because it is something to factor in over the coming 3 weeks. And it is in the segment, otherwise known as The Price is Right.
The price is wrong, bitch.
In The Price is Right, we run through the top buy, sell, hold, and wait options for this round of Supercoach. We'll chat about the pros and cons and the notable players to factor in who, especially those ones who face the first round of buys next week. First up in the sell, we'll start with sells, I think. Let's start with who we're going to ditch from our sides. And first up, it's unfortunately Nick Martin, forward midfield eligible, 379.3K with an average of 82.4 and a break-even of 116. And he was the SSP revelation, but he's hit a bit of a slump in recent weeks, posting a 49 on the back of a 59, which has seen his price plummet to 16.7K and his break even rise quite high to that 116. Having made us a whopping 276.9K in profit, the price is very much right to cash him in as a stepping stone to a primo or downgrade to fund the upgrade of another player on another line. So for instance, you could trade, you know, Nick Martin down to a Cleary and swing like an SDK or a McCartan forward. The one thing I guess to note is he played predominantly forward on the weekend and then didn't have many touches. I think he had about 5 touches to 3-quarter time and then went nuts when he actually got to play a bit more wing in the last quarter. So again, shockingly, players in their position, they tend to do better. But yeah, unfortunately, I think it's time for him to move on.
Yes, it's one of those ones, isn't it? It's very bittersweet because he's made so much cash for us, but I almost feel like I want to hold on to him and not get rid of him because he's done us so well over the journey so far. And he's one of those guys as well that you feel, and you just touched on it as well, in terms of the positional side of things, that if he gets played in his actual position that he's more accustomed to, there's every chance that he's actually going to come back and score half decently.
Yeah.
I don't know. What are your thoughts?
Well, that's my theory is, yeah. I mean, look, there's 2 things that I think are factoring in here. One is potentially a lack of preseason. He was brought in literally the last day of the preseason, I think it was. Or in the last week of the preseason. So he probably hasn't had the proper preseason that you'd expect for most other players. So maybe that's starting to have a bit of an impact. Potentially, I mean, I don't know. He seems pretty fit. But the other thing is obviously his positional, where he's getting played. I mean, Essendon's forward line's been a bit decimated of this year, whole year. So maybe that's why they've played him a little bit more forward. But yeah, I mean, I can see him go back to scoring, you know, averaging that 80 odd for the rest of the year. But I think it's too hard now. I think it's, you know, he's made your cash, just moving on.
Yeah, totally agree there. Next candidate to look at, I guess, cashing in because the price is right for this man, and it is Nick Dacos as a defensive midfielder. He's priced at 376.6K, averaging a 79.8 with a break-even of 88. And, you know, I guess he's another one that you could sort of classify as a young revelation whose scoring has, I guess, started to dip with scores of 69 and 65 in recent weeks, bringing his overall average down along with his price, which has dipped to 4.8K on the decline on the weekend. Another good stepping stone to a primo, although depending on your buy structure, given his buy isn't until round 14, you could potentially hold him for the first 2 weeks of the buys because he is obviously playing, and then upgrade him heading into round 14 if you're willing to ride a little bit of the price dip. And I think he has been pretty consistent in terms of his scoring. He hasn't really had a massive dip that's seen his price decline too much. So, you know, his break even is, you know, only 9 points or not even 8.2 over his average. So there's every chance that he could hover around that price.
Yeah, I mean, looking at his three-round average and his five-round average, they're sitting around 71, 72. So it's a little bit more of a drop-off. But I can see value in holding him for the next few weeks. I mean, you're going to lose a little bit of cash, but the points that you're gaining over the buyers might be more valuable.
Yeah. So, yeah, I guess the short answer to that is it's up to you. And where you're at in terms of your team structure. So either or, if you want to sell him, keep him. I think there's merit in both.
Yes. Now onto the next sell option. It is Josh Gibkiss, defensive eligible, 332.6K, averaging 65.3 with a break even of 70. And we'll call him Josh Stanley Gibkiss, which is obviously a reference to Jim Carrey's character in The Mask.
Gibkiss, police!
It wasn't me. It was the one-armed man.
And he has risen 161.3K average overall and finds his break-even rising above his average. I think you could potentially hold him for another week if need be. His, you know, average of 65.3 isn't that far below his break-even. His three-round average is 68.3 as well, so it's very close. So, I mean, he'll probably drop a little bit in cash if he sticks to those averages. But, I mean, it's probably worth holding him for a week. But equally, if you're going to upgrade him to someone that's much better, I mean, just do it.
Yeah.
It's a hard one. I feel like these three guys are like all – I mean, I think Nick Martin's the most pressing need to get out.
Yeah.
Just because of his break even of 116. But the other two, I feel like you can probably hold them until they're buys.
Yeah, exactly. And he's probably a classic example, Gibkiss, of using the, you know, the trading strategy around the buys to your advantage, where he's got the round 12 buy. And, you know, if you're lacking players for round 12, then you know, it's obvious to keep him until then and trade him to someone that is going to be a good primo. But moving on to the buy category, and it is, first up, Jack Sinclair. As a defender slash midfielder, priced at 530.2K, averaging 110.3 with a break-even of 67. And it's a bit of a funny one because a lot of us assumed Sinclair would pick up the CBA slack left by Steele. But I had a look earlier when I was just crunching stats and writing up this run sheet. Surprisingly, Sinclair didn't actually take even one CBA. So instead, he actually played 80% of his time in the defensive half as one of the main distributors out of defense, pushing slightly up the ground out of the defensive arc, and yeah, just doing what he does best with his silky foot. So it just goes to show that in terms of his scoring ability and his I guess non-reliance to score in the middle, and his ceiling is just as high when he's played exclusively in defense. And with a break even of 67 and the fact that he's facing North this weekend, the time to jump on him is probably now if you are keen. Just be mindful his buy is first up next week in round 12. So having said that, you could potentially hold off over the next couple of weeks and get him in for round 13, which goes back to that point I was saying, and probably more so where you're trading in guys coming off their buy, which means they're going to play for the next 2 weeks or the remaining week over the buy, depending on whether you get them in round 13 or 14. So only get him if you have cover, over at round 12. Otherwise, you could probably wait, yeah, as I said, those couple of weeks and take advantage of that trading buy strategy.
Yes, I quite like Sinclair. Not secretly, just between you and me, Damon, find his way into my team this week. That's the word on the street.
Are you shouting from the hills?
Yeah. moving on. Next up, we've got Marcus Bontempelli, currently mid-eligible, potentially forward-eligible soon. Yes. 587.5K, averaging 112.7 with a break-even of 91. His score of 130 on the weekend did stop six consecutive weeks of price drops, where he did bottom out at 573.1K. And, you know, instead of that, he rose 14.5K this week. With the season low score of 88, his floor is, you know, relatively high, especially if he gets that forward eligibility. And there's no doubting his ability to score from limited possessions, scoring 1.1 points a minute across his nine games. The big appeal here for Bont is the fact he could gain forward status next week come the DPP changes. If he does, it's maybe a smart move to bring him in early. Just have him there in anticipation of switching him forward if you can. I think, as you said, he has to spend 1% of time forward. So, I mean, it's a risk.
Yeah, it's a little bit of a risk.
Bevo. I feel like if it was any other coach, I'd say, yeah, okay, that would be fine. You just don't know with Bevo. So just I guess I personally am not doing it just because I can't structure it right. His buy does also sit at round 13, so you could probably wait a week if you can afford to do so and just make sure he works within your buy structures. I want to get Bont in. I'm probably going to have to wait to do it. I can't factor it in this week.
Yeah, I'm very much the same as well. Like when we were chatting, like straight out of the lockout lifting, my first thought was, shit, we're going to get him in because you've got to take advantage of the DPP changes and potentially get a jump on those people who would otherwise get him next week. And, you know, they're playing some easy beats on the weekend. But, yeah, geez, you're getting excited, Liam. You're just sliding off.
Sliding my headphones off.
Headphones completely gone. Headphones are off. That's when you know we're in business here.
It's business time.
But yeah, I'm very much the same as well with Bont. I just can't, I can't afford it. And there are more pressing needs at the moment. Like I wish the DPP changes came in this week because I had the cash to do it, but I can't afford to wait because I desperately need another forward primo. And yeah, it just hasn't worked out with the timing, unfortunately, but maybe look at him next week or otherwise in round 14 after his round 13 buy and assess from there.
Well, yeah, that's the issue for me is that because the DPP status hasn't changed for all these players, I can't swing him in easily, which is unfortunate. I could afford to do it, but I can't afford the points, essentially, and just the DPP swings. But on to his teammate.
Yes, David? He's his teammate, the big Bazilenka, Bailey Smith, midfielder at the moment, priced at 552.8K, averaging a 112.2 with a break-even of 65. And much like his captain we just spoke of, Bazilenka is another dog in line for potential DPP forward status. Having made 34.3K over the past 2 weeks off the back of scores of 144 and 117, his price is very much on the upward trajectory, especially with a break-even of 65 and, of course, the fact that he's facing the Eagles this weekend. So he is one to keep in mind. Could go early on him. You could wait. But I think either way, his price is going to skyrocket. And he is one to keep in mind. I think, you know, he's what at the moment? He's 35-odd K less expensive than Bont. So he's a little bit of a discount there. And he's actually averaging 0.5 less than Bont. So a bit of a discount there at the moment. So if both get DPP status, it's going to be very interesting to see which route people take. Whether they go down the Bont route or they go down the Smith route or the Bazilenka route. So
yeah, it's going to be interesting. I'm just furiously trying to get his stats up.
Yes.
So I can talk about them. And equally, I mean, his floor's a little bit lower, having scored 80 twice this season as his lowest score and then a 95 and a 98, but equally not poor scores. So I think both seem, you know, decent options. If you can get, I mean, his break even of 65 means he's going to go up in price quicker than Bont will. So you might find that they end up, I mean, I don't know off the top of my head, looking at, let's just have a quick look. Supercoach Gold projects a change of 21.1K for Smith if he scores 112. So he'll get up to around the 570 mark.
Yeah, okay. And Bont, just quickly as well, is projected to score 110, which I'll probably say is should be more than that. And his break-even is 91. So if he scores 110, he's going to go up 8.4K. So, yeah, he might be one to hold out for potentially, given that higher break-even. But
yeah,
interesting. It's going to be very interesting to see, you know, when we see coming out of lockdown this time next week, really. The amount of people, or the percentage next to Bazilenka and the percentage of trade-ins next to Bont. So it's going to be very, very interesting.
For me personally, I'm probably leaning more towards Smith just because of his lower price and his relatively similar average personally. But we'll assess that next week as well. On to the next player. He's mid and forward eligible already. He's already got his DPP status change, which is very nice. It's Lukey Parker. Lukey Parker, 540.6K with an average of 103.4 and a break-even of 102. He presents as one of the better forward options on offer at the moment with a five-round average of 111.2, ranking third just behind Dunkley and Will Brody. And in terms of CBAs and his importance to the Swans engine room, he averages the most over the past 5 weeks of any Swan with 76%, with Mills the next best averaging 61.6. His buy is also in round 13, so worth grabbing now if you're crying out for a genuine primo option, perhaps an upgrade, you know, Martin. That's probably another little tidbit, another word on the street. Maybe that's happening in my team as well.
Yep, and I think that's happening in my team as well. I don't know. That's what I've heard. I've heard the town friar go around. Hear ye, hear ye. ScoMo is out. Thank And also, Damo's team is going to be featuring Luke Parker. there you go. Eat a dick, ScoMo. Just want to put that in there. But moving on to another guy who was he's a bit of a pod and someone out there who has gone up in price a little bit and he's filled the void of one Jack Steele, and it is Brad Crouch, available as a midfielder, of course, priced at 529.5K, averaging a 105.8 with a break even of 45. And like I said, he's probably the biggest beneficiary off the back of the loss of Steele at the Saints. Whilst his CBAs on the weekend, very strangely, only rose 3% from the previous week when he played alongside Steele. So it does look as though he stepped up his game in the absence of Steele as more of the in and under extractor, more responsibility, coupled, I guess, with just some ripping form in recent weeks. Even when he was playing with Steele, he was in some good form because he does have a three-round average of 126. And he's a pod. He's still a pod because he's only owned by 3% of teams. So for those keen to go against the grain and potentially make up some ground on those people who don't have him, he is a genuine option. But like Sinclair, of course, his teammate, remember that he does have the round 12 bye. So if you get him in this week, he's going to be out next week. So if it works into your buy structure, if it means that, or in your case, Liam, you don't give a shit and you're playing for head-to-head leagues, go ahead and get him in as he is one of the, I guess, out there options, but one that's warranted because his form is very, very good.
I quite like it. I don't mind the pick of Crouch. It's probably a little bit too much of a pod for me. But I don't mind. I can see the logic of going for someone like him. I don't mind it, but it's a little bit too much for me. But onto another, I guess, pod, I want to say, just a little bit more percentage of teams. He's just in 5% of teams, and that is your boy, Damon Walshy, Sammy Walsh, mid-eligible, 609.2K with an average of 116.6 and a break-even of 77. And as I alluded to, he is in just the 5% of teams. He's already been traded into 2% by 2% as well. So I think that'd be around the 7% now, potentially even higher. And Walsh is a pretty strong trading option this week with a break even of just 77. He's got a 3-round average of 123.7 and a 5-round average of 121.2. And he's building up to some really strong scoring as well, which is nice to see. I mean, especially as an owner for the past few weeks, it's been nice seeing him score as he has been. And it is seemingly on the back of playing more time, more on the wing, I think, from what I've seen. His CBA is sitting at just the 23 and 39 in the last 2 weeks, which was well down on his sort of season high of 77 all the way back in round 5. So he's not playing as much, I guess, CBA time, but he is getting that ability to use his to play a bit more on the outside, I guess, which is probably very good for his skill set as well and good for his scoring. So I'm happy for him to remain there. But you do have to remember, though, he has the round 12 bye, which isn't very favourable for a lot of people. But if, as you said, if you don't give a shit like me, just bring in Sammy Walsh.
Yeah, I'm going to be a big advocate, even though I still don't own him in my team, and I am absolutely kicking myself. I wish I had a time machine, Liam, because I'd be going back at least 3 weeks ago when I traded in Brayshaw, who I thought was, I must admit, at the time, he was very good value. I think he was ranked he was the fifth best scoring midfielder at the time and was coming off the back of, I think he had a shit score, littered in with a couple of really good scores, and I got seduced by the other price point, and I thought, Walshy is going to hold his price point, at the very least hover around that 600K mark by the time that I try and get him in over the buys. And his form, he's actually turned it around. And I mean, it was always going to happen. He's a quality player, as we know. Mm. He's a quality player, Liam. He's a ripper. But yeah, it hurts me seeing him score so well and he's not in my team. But he will be my last upgrade. I don't care how much it takes. He's going to be in my team. Oh, yes, he will be. He will be mine.
She will be mine. Oh, yes. He will be mine.
And just for non-owners and I guess for owners as well, comes up against Collingwood this week, who he has his second best average against, with an average of 120.3 across his 4 games against the Pies, with a high score, his highest score ever of 193 against the Pies. Let's have a quick look. I mean, he's got 105, 193, 113, and 70 in those 4 games. So, you know.
You're rubbing salt into the wound here.
It's the only thing I've got over you.
Yeah, that's true. That's very true. What? Do you want to trade? I'll take Walshy off here and you can have my wins. I'll be 2-8 and you can be 8-2. Fair trade.
That's tempting.
Yeah, no, but I'd prefer, I'd go stick with Walshy if I was here.
Yeah, I probably would. I probably need something in my team. Anyway, let's move on to the players on the bubble. Some rookies that we can bring in.
Yes, and there is a very decent one in defense because he does have the best lowest break even, negative break even. It is Luke Cleary from the Western Bulldogs as a defender, priced at 117.3K, averaging a 68 with a break-even of negative 67. And he has scored 61 and 75 in his past 2 games, with his marking numbers probably the most impressive of his game with 7 and 6. And just in terms of his job security, it's pretty hard to assess, but I mean, all you can say is provided he maintains his form, he should solidify his spot more and more as the weeks go by. So you've got to, I guess, treat it as a week-to-week proposition, because you've got to be wary of the fact that just looking at the injury list at the Dogs, they do have Tim O'Brien and Hayden Crozier at the moment, still need to return to the senior lineup, their best 22 players, you'd think. So those are the two players that could push him out. I think Crozier has been playing in the seconds, getting a bit of form and fitness back, and O'Brien, I think he's a test potentially, is listed as. So who knows? I mean, it wouldn't surprise me to see him lose his spot, which is silly to say, even though he's been scoring quite well. But hopefully Bevo persists with him, because they do have a few guys down there that are, I guess, not as experienced, well, not much more experienced than him. They've got Gardner. They've got a couple other players as well who could be on the chopping block as much as what he is. So his slight build, that's really the only knock against him. but he's performing quite well to his credit. So who knows? But just wait and see when the team lists are released and go from there. But he presents as the best option.
Yes. Next up, we've got Riley West, forward eligible, 187.8K, averaging 79 with a break even of minus 41. And when you've got scores of 73 and 79 in your first two games of the season, he stands out and as an impressive prospect. But then you look at his price point and you think, oh, God, no. Like Cleary, it's hard to assess his job security long term. But there were with the likes of Waitman, Wallace and Johannesson nearing a return in 1 to 2 weeks and must-win games coming up to seal a final spot. He does loom as one who could be the first out if his form seems to taper even just slightly. So I think with his higher price, he's probably not worth the trade in. And his break even is minus 41, which is pretty good, but I think it's a bit of a risk.
Yeah, exactly right. The next candidate to consider is Joel Jeffrey as a forward, priced at 127.4K, averaging a 60 with a break-even of negative 45 and with a high score of 95 and a low of 25. Joel Jeffrey is going to be volatile with his scoring, probably goes without saying. Probably wouldn't expect him to be scoring what he did on the weekend week on week. So it's definitely inflated by his 5-goal haul. But he does have a nice break even and that forward status. So it's something that we're crying out for because there are some rookies that are popping up here and there, but they're not really that good. And there's one that we'll talk about in a couple of candidates' time, I guess. But yeah. It's really, you just have to temper your expectations and they're not really good for cover. They're more a slow burn cash cow and they're going to be volatile in scoring. So factor him in nonetheless.
Next one up to look at is Geelong player Cooper Stevens, midfield eligible, 123.9K, averaging 65 with a break even of minus 57. And he was a late replacement in his second game on the weekend, which probably gives you a bit of an insight into his job security. I mean, maybe with Danger out, he might help him a little bit to see him get a couple more weeks, maybe. I don't know. But anyway, the one upside is that he was very good points per minute, akin to a reminiscent, I guess, of another former Cat, which is now a Sun in Charlie Constable, with 66 and 64 from 64 and 67% time on ground. However, with Danger sidelined for the next 2 weeks, I guess as I said, his prospects are probably a little bit brighter in the short term at the very least. So, I mean, I don't need a mid-eligible rookie, which is frustrating, but one to consider.
But again, fraught with danger with job security, like all these guys, really. It's interesting time coming up. But the last candidate that we have written down here is Jesse Motlop, eligible as a forward, priced at 117.3 with an average of 37 and a break even of just negative 5. So based off that, you could probably guess his scores in his first two games haven't been too good with 34 and 40. And he's probably the epitome of a small forward with small forward scores. His score could have been a little bit better had he been more accurate on the weekend than the 1-3 that he kicked. But bar an out-of-the-box game here or there, he's questionable as a cash cow option and certainly not one to entertain as really an on-field cover option. At best, he might be a really slow-burn rookie. But for me, as a baggers man, I think Jack Martin's going to come straight back in and replace him unless he just kicks 6 or so on the weekend. I think he's nearing a return, potentially a week away, Jack Martin, and Josh Honey as well. Really good player in his first few games, as we saw in his debut season. So I really rate him as well as that small forward. So I think those two loom as the likely players that could push him out of the team.
Yeah. I think you're right. He's maybe potentially a slow burn, but I don't know if it's worth it. Especially with his job security. Let's move on to the holds now, Damon. And first up, we've got Sammy Hayes, rack eligible, 304.4K with an average of 74.5 and a break-even of 52. Now, I must say, he is the 10th most traded out player in Supercoach, which surprises me a little bit. I think with Pruce, so that's 1.6% of teams. That's 1,184 people have traded him out so far. And I think with Pruce missing this weekend, it's the perfect example of why you should be holding him, especially through the buys. He's been serviceable as an R3 and, cover if you need him. and should make some more cash too. I mean, his break even is 52 and his average is 74.5. So he should make a little bit more cash as well. And it's just hold him for the buyers, please. Please.
Yeah. I mean, he obviously hasn't made as much as what we thought he would because he has had a couple of games. It's almost like every second game he scores pretty shit. At 75, then 94, then 53, then 98, then a 55, then a 72. So, yeah, he's slowly tracking down, I think, over the past few weeks. But he faces Essendon on the weekend. Your mob, Draper. Yeah. Are they playing two rucks? Was it Brian? Did he play on the weekend?
Draper and Brian will be... So he'll get double teamed, I guess, in that sense.
Yeah.
I'm just having a quick look. Sorry. Bear with me.
He faces Richmond. He has the bye in round 12 and then Richmond round 13 and then Sydney, which again, he might be double teamed by Hickey and Laddams in round 14. So it doesn't get any easier.
So just looking at, just having a quick look, Essendon give away the second least amount of points to opposition ruckman as well.
Oh, wow.
So that doesn't bode well for him. I can see why maybe people are trading him out, but I still think it's worth holding him over the buys. I think he should... Make his break even at 52. Yeah. Definitely good buy cover.
Yeah. I don't know who you'd be trading him down to either. Like, people must have DPP swings between forward and ruck, or they're trading him down to a non-playing player, which has merit towards the latter end of the year as a loophole option. But as we saw, I mean, straight off the back of a weekend when we actually needed him, for those of us who had Proust, it just makes absolutely no sense because there's no guarantee that Proust is going to come back. Granted, he was out through illness, but we've seen what's happened with Tim English, who was out for a month plus or thereabouts. It's just really strange, surprising. So who knows? But let's move on to the next hold candidate, and it is Sam De Koning as a forward defender. Priced at 334.3K, averaging a 64.1 with a break-even of 43. And, I guess you can see the value in trading him. He's made 210K already, but he's probably more than a serviceable player for your forwards or defense. Has his buy in round 13, so you could choose to keep him for another couple of weeks and then upgrade him at that stage. And he has a three-game average of 78.7, so he should... I guess make even more cash. So, Liam, you've added a little tidbit here. What have you got? What's the saying?
Squeeze every penny.
You gotta squeeze every penny.
Squeeze every penny.
I'm squeezing it. Hey, I squeezed so hard it went into my hand.
Oh, Homer, not again.
Oh, very good. I like that from you. That was good. You wrote that down on the run sheet and I was like, wait a second, what's that riff? Oh, that's very good.
I had to look it up because I thought it was one of those things that I just like a fever dream from my childhood or something, but it wasn't a real thing. But it was, dream. Thankfully. Yeah. But you got to squeeze every last penny. He's been very, I mean, I can see why you trade him out personally. But I reckon you can hold him for a few more weeks if you can. I mean, he's the fifth most traded out player, but I think there's still more value that you can extract from him. And that's what I'm all here for. And next up, it's the same with this bloke, Patrick McCartan, defensive forward eligible, 341.4K with an average of 70.2 and a break even of 41. He has the round 13 bye. So I'd hold him until then at least. You could trade him this week if you have your eye on a primo or bubble boy, but he does have a three-round average of 84.7 and a break-even of just 41, so he should make you a little bit more cash. So again, squeeze every penny.
I like it. I like it, Liam. But what I also like is being prepared. I don't know how prepared we can be for the upcoming period, which we're dubbing, Liam... So the buy strategy. So across each of the three buy rounds, In case you don't know, if you're playing Supercoach for the first time, your best performing 18 players will only be counted towards your weekly score. So obviously try your best to navigate the buys, with the best strategy always being to trade out a player who is about to have a buy for a player who has already had their buy. So on the buy next week in round 12, first up we have Carlton, Essendon, GWS, Port, Richmond and St Kilda. So the five most notable players from each, according to ownership, include from Carlton, we have Paddy Cripps. We have Sammy Walsh, Doherty, Hewitt, and Carroll as that cash cow. For your mob, Liam, who have we got?
From my mob, we've got Merritt, Parrish, Nick Martin, Jordan Ridley, and Hobbs. I can't think of his first name. Ben Hobbs, I want to say.
Benny. We'll go with Ben.
Yeah, Benny.
That sounds like, he looks like a Ben. Sounds like a Ben.
Apologies,
mate, if you're listening. Yes, I've got a B Hobbs.
It is
here.
Benny Hobbs. I thought it was. I felt like it was wrong. Anyway, and then from the Giants, we've got Big Prusy, but will he play? He missed through illness, wasn't it?
Yeah, just illness apparently. Yeah.
Okay, so hopefully that works. Hope that helps for him. Cogs, unfortunately, I mean, I want another 140 in my side. Josh Kelly, Toby Green, and Timmy Taranto.
And just with B Hobbs, it could have been. Could have been Bartholomew Hobbs. That really would have got you. Doesn't look like a Bart though, does he?
No, not quite. Does look like a Benny. Does look like a Benny.
Talk yeah, Benny. That. Bit of a Benny. Benny in the Jets. for Port Adelaide, the five most owned players that are going to be out are Hayes, Butters, Houston, Boke, and Wines. For Richmond, we have Short, Rioli Jr., Gipkus, Dusty, and Vloston. And round us out, Liam, for St Kilda.
We've got Gresham, Sinclair, Crouch, Marshall, and Wanganeen Milera. Milera. Sorry.
Yeah. I don't know how to pronounce it. If it's Milera or Milera.
Yeah. Milera. Maybe it's Milera. Yeah.
Yep.
Yes. Apologies. We'll apologies.
Maybe it's but
I'm going to say it's not, but you could be right. so just keep in mind, I guess these are the first up, the buys in round 12. So we've got another week of full scoring and then we've got a week of buys after that.
Yep. And just touching on quickly as well, like we've been saying earlier in the episode, so depends really, you don't have to abide by the rules of the buys because it does come down to the type of league you're in. Now this year, as we know that you can actually bypass the head-to-head matchups across the three bye weeks in my cash league that you're in also, Liam. And I think in our Supercoach Edge Discord league as well, we've turned off the head-to-head matches across the three bye weeks. So if that is the case, you could potentially just not give an absolute crap about bye weeks. And if you've got 12 players, 13, 14, 18, doesn't really matter because if you're going for head-to-head, if you're in a cash league and it doesn't count, just conserve your trades. But if you're going for overall or you're going for a bit of both, then obviously try your best to navigate it. But as you said, Liam, your thoughts?
Yeah, that's actually entirely what I'm going to be doing. With my ranking, it's not worth sort of focusing on overall now. I think it's going to be at the detriment of my cash leagues. So I'm going to go more for a head-to-head league. Focus. And with that in mind, I'm just not going to, I really don't, both of my cash leagues, as you mentioned, don't have the buys. No head-to-heads during the buy. So I'm just not going to give a shit. I'm going to, if I make trades, it's going to be based off just value. Obviously I'm not going to trade in a play that's going to miss that week. But if I do use the trades, I'll be just using it to just solidify the value and focus on the break evens. And then just see how I go. I think I did a quick count. I think I might be on about 14 in round 12. So not going to go too well that week. But I kind of had already had this in my mind a few weeks ago that it was just not worth worrying about the buys personally in my situation.
Yep.
I guess on the other side, obviously, as you mentioned, Damon, it's always the plan would always be to trade in a player after their buy and trade out a player before their buy. So round 12 is sort of the most awkward one because obviously you've got the first round of buys, but you've got all these players who are about to have their buys, I guess. So that's sort of the most awkward buy. After that, it's very easy because you're just trading out players who aren't going to play next week.
Yep. No, very, very true. We'll touch on that in a bit more detail this time next week, I guess, when we record the next episode and see the state of play where you're at, where we're at, and yes, it can help you navigate through them. So be sure as well to send through any questions that you may have in the lead up to that around the buy period, because we are, of course, happy to help. So Liam, let's jump into our next segment, and we both know what it is.
Yes, Scott Morrison used to know what it was, but not anymore. Because you know what? He's not the captain now. You know who is?
Who's that?
I don't know. We'll chat through some new captain options this week.
Look at me. I'm the captain now.
You know how you're saying that it's not my job? Well, it turns out that's not his job because he's no longer in the position. Exactly. So,
eat a dick, mate.
That's not my job.
That's not my job.
It's not my job to do that.
Let's move on to I'm the captain now. We've scrounged through the data and found the best options for your VC and C this weekend. And in game order, so obviously first up, we'll have Lachie Neal, who plays on Saturday afternoon at 1:45 against the Giants. And he's averaged 110 over his last four against GWS with scores of just 87, 151, 85, and 117. So based off that, he's in for a big one, hopefully, this week. Just you know, that every second game is 80. Every other game is well above 100. So hopefully he continues that. It's a nice early option as a VC. He hasn't sort of been scoring. He's sort of been a bit volatile. With his scoring in the hundreds, recent weeks. He's won the ton run. He has won the ton run now. He's dropped off this weekend. But his three-round average of 112. 0.7 just sort of doesn't scream captain scores to me. And his last captaincy score was in round 7, which was 187. So, you know, decent effort there.
Yep. Moving on to the next game, and it is Tom Stewart, who comes up against the Crows on Saturday at 1:45. Strange. Again, they've the AFL fixturing, they've fixed two games on at the exact same time. Interesting. Averaging 106.5 over his last four against the Crows with scores of 113, 118, 108, and 87. So he is another early, I guess in his case, pot option. So if you're looking to get a bit of a leg up, I don't know if he's going to come out of the blocks and score that one, what was it, 170 odd or whatever it was the other week. That was one from just the clouds. Keep him in mind if you do have him. But if you are keen for early options, he presents as one.
Next up, we've got Clayton Oliver against Fremantle on Saturday at 4:35. He has averaged 121.25 over his last four against the Dockers with scores of 122, 95, 114, and 154. But he does also, just mindful of this, have a three-round average of 137.3 and a five-round average of 139.8. So I think regardless, you need to keep that in mind.
Yeah, went bananas on the weekend, of course. Scored 178. Yeah, crazy. So, yeah, he's factoring in big time for me because I've ignored him over the past couple of weeks. So look at him very, very closely. Next option, though, we have Jack McRae coming up against the hapless Eagles on Saturday at 7:25 p.m. And he's averaged 118.75 over his last four against the Eagles with scores of 137, 137, 117, and brought down by that 84. So other thing to keep in mind is the Eagles give away the third most points to opposition inside midfielders. So you'd hope, if you're putting the VC or the C on McRae, that he's going to have a day out. And there's a bit of form there in terms of this year, how the Eagles perform against opposition inside mids. So keep him in mind.
Also in that same game, we've got Josh Dunkley. He's averaged 117.25 over his last four against the Eagles, with scores of 132, 151, 119, and 67. West Coast, as you mentioned, Damon, they give away the third most points to opposition inside mids, but they also give away the most points to general and key forwards. So I guess whichever role Dunkley plays in that game, if he does play more forward, if he plays in the midfield, it does bode well for his scoring, which is good to see. Very nice. Equally, I guess you could be looking at someone like a Bontempelli or a Baslinker, I guess, if you've got him, just as a bit of another pod option.
Yeah, or even another pod option, if you have him, of course, coming back, a bit more questionable, but coming back from illness, Tim English, if he makes his way back into the side, because he is going to be facing I don't even know who's rucking for them at the moment. I think it's Bailey Williams.
Yeah, potentially. Let's have a quick look. Ruck contests. It's Bailey Williams and Callum Jamison.
Who?
Callum Jamison. Yeah, who? Callum Jamison is taking 51% of the ruck contests, and Bailey J. Williams is taking 48%.
Okay. In that case, the who?
Jerry McGovern took 1% on the weekend. Oh,
how nice of him to ease the load with that 1%. So given the who as a response to who's rucking for West Coast, I think Tim English might be in for it, but I think he might be managed, especially if he's having to share the ruck with Jordan Sweet as well. Probably something to factor in. I probably wouldn't go for him if that was the case, but
yeah,
they are facing West Coast with a non-existent carbon rod as their ruckmen, men, I should say, whoever they are. Anyway, moving on to James Sicily, who faces Gold Coast on Saturday at 7:40 p.m., and he's averaged over his last four against the Suns scores of 47, 135, a 58, and a 92. But note that he played last against them in 2019, so he's probably a bit of a different beast. And he's, I think back then he may have been playing or sharing at least his time between the forward line and defence. So it may have been during that stage where he's being swung back and forth, which wasn't very conducive to decent, consistent scores. But he has a three-round average for this season of 131.8 and a five-round average of 124.8. So he is in probably career best form. It's super coach-wise anyway. He's absolutely killing it.
Now on to our last pick, I guess, so far, and that is Patrick Cripps. Against coming up against Collingwood on Sunday at 3:20. He's only got an average of 93.75 over his last four against the Pies, with scores of 82, 81, 120, and 92. But the fifth last score was 187. So you know, that would drag his average up a little bit if he made it five games.
That's true.
And also just a note, Collingwood give away the second most points to opposition inside mids as well. Mm. So it does bode well for him. I personally think it's a bit of a risk with his last two scores. I mean, his last score really was affected by his five frees against and seven clangers or whatever it was. But it is a little bit more of a risk, I think, with Cripsy this week.
Yes, but honourable mentions, Liam, and his teammate who you spoke of before, who is the apple of my eye when it comes to Supercoach and probably just footy in general, Sammy Walsh.
Yes, has that average of 120.25 over his last four against the Pies, with scores of 105, 193, 113, and 70 in his first season. And it's coming into a nice little streak with a score of 133 against the Swans and a 149 against the Giants in his last two matches. So definitely some value to be had in kicking him as a... I mean, he plays on the Sunday, so it's a bit awkward. You'd have to captain him. But if you know, maybe you just have to pull out all stops and you just have to throw the C on him.
Yep. No, I like it. Other option to consider as an honourable mention is Jack Sinclair, just because he's playing North on the weekend as well. But North also give away the most points to wingers/attacking defenders, which as we went through earlier in the episode, he played that role to a T on the weekend. So, it bodes well in terms of a positional exploitation against his upcoming opponent. So look at him very, very closely. He's a bit of a pot option. I think not many people will go for
him. No, definitely. Now, Damon, what about who are you taking this week?
Well, I think this time last week I said that I was going to go for Neil and or McRae into Neil or Oliver, and I bypassed Oliver and... Jeez, he's let me know about it because he's in the sort of form that is just too hard to ignore. He slapped me across the face with his little, you know, curly piggy tail, and I've taken notice. So I think he's going to be rewarded with the vice captaincy at the very least. And then I'll look at McRae potentially as the C. Just switched up from last week. But what about yourself?
Yeah, I think I'll be looking at something pretty similar. I think I'll be going VC on Oliver. I just think there's too much value to be had there. And then probably based off that, I have to go for a McRae. I might go Dunkley, just something a bit different. I mean, I'm kind of at a point in the season where I just need to pull out all the stops and just, you know, ride some difference, point of differences, just to try and claw back some ranking points, but also just, I guess, claw back a little bit of in, make sure I'm, you know, working as hard as I can in all those head-to-heads. So maybe I might go for a Josh Dunkley, but I'll play it by ear, depending on what my opponents are doing as well in my head-to-heads.
Very much like what our outro song from The Killers says, which is, of course, called Caution, and it's about throwing caution to the wind. So I think that's the motto. That's the motto for the rest of the year, maybe the second half of the season, Liam, for both of us.
Yeah, I think so. Yeah, I think yep. We need to.
Yep. So keep posted on that. But let's move on to our last segment, which is the group rankings and the Supercoach Edge Cash League, Liam. And let's have a quick look at the Supercoach Edge group rankings to start off with.
Mm-hmm.
Who have we got as the highest scorer?
Yes, we've got round, what was it, round 10. Keith was our highest scorer with his team, Aledraw. I want to say A-L-E-J-O-R. Aledraw, maybe even. But anyway, his score was 2,595 with a round rank of 115. So,
wow, well done.
Very nice. Very, very nice. And Damon, who's our overall highest scorer?
He's now our mascot. He's almost like a imagine a Supercoach mascot. This is a costume. Actually, no, don't imagine it. Well, if you have clean mind, unlike myself, and probably you to an extent, Liam, because I've corrupted you by this running gag. I am referring, of course.
What's a cream pie, Damon?
It's a type of pie that's just pastry with cream. Yes, you've given it the overall highest scorer is Tyler. Is it 3 or 4 weeks in a row? 3 weeks?
Four weeks.
Because last week was the trilogy. Yeah. It was the trilogy, of course, with the team Cream Pie. So he's now a mascot. Cream. Imagine that, someone in a cream pie suit. Just imagine that, Liam.
Yeah. I don't know what you're talking about. I mean, it's pretty simple to imagine.
Yes, isn't it? The total score is 23,739. And the overall rank, he maintains his position he's ranked 30th overall.
Wow.
Imagine coming into the season and best of luck, Tyler, that he's first. And they're going to be like, first overall is Tyler with Cream Pies. And then everyone can celebrate and join in the gag, not just us corrupted minds here at Supercoach Edge and the listeners and viewers. So collectively, we can be jovial and joke about the cream pie or cream pies in this case. But it is very applicable because it's not just one cream pie. He must have known that it's going to be a collective. It's cream pies. He's made four cream pies so far. Let's see how many he can get.
Anyway, if you want to enter the Supercoach Edge group, which you can join at any time of the season, the code is 142059. But let's move on to the league rankings for the Supercoach Edge Crown League for Tier 3 Patreon subscribers. And Damon, we don't feature on this week.
No, we don't. So, rightfully so. Woo! How
let's
good.
Run through the winners from the round. And that was Arthur with his team Black on White, last year's group winner. We've also got Matthew with his team Orion, Kyle with his team Northwind, Lyle with his team Lyle Styles, and Bruce with his team Shuin.
Yeah, that always gets me. That I always think of Shoe Nice. Have you ever watched that guy on YouTube? The guy that used to eat glue and shit. Not but he used to eat glue and stuff, like just random stuff. Like used to eat chalk, used to eat like toilet paper. Oh, the best I saw. Like if you haven't seen this bloke. He was like at the height of YouTube. Like when YouTube started to become big, everyone knew him and he got like a heap of subscribers. He went off the rails because he was like a raging alcoholic, which probably stemmed from the fact that he did challenges like drinking, like he was downing a whole bottle of wine and just doing stupid stuff, which do not do because that will potentially kill you. But he was doing stuff like the funniest challenge I saw, and it's now a challenge I notice on TikTok. I'm not much of a TikToker, as the young folk out there are, more so than me, but there was a challenge going around. It was called the Sprite Challenge, and you had to down a full bottle of Sprite and not burp. Ooh. And people were like burping and like burping up like Sprite and stuff, quite funny. But he would down, like I'm literally talking like a 2-liter bottle of Coke, Sprite, lemonade, whatever. And he'd have to say at the end, Shoe Nice, he'd have to talk. and it'd be near on impossible. And he was like, trying to hold it in. I'll add it into the podcast so people can watch it because it is absolutely hilarious. Oh, tears, and he did quite a few of those, and then at the end he just lets out this massive burp. But anyway, that brings us to the end of the show. But before we go, Liam, where can the good folk find us across our show's social
channels? Yes, if you want to say that, you better be watching on YouTube. Yeah, you can exactly. do that if you search Supercoach Edge and don't forget to like and subscribe. On Twitter, you'll find us at @Supercoach_Edge and you'll get all of the latest news and content there. You'll find Damon at @DamonJ88, myself at @LiamEvans_95. And on Facebook and Instagram, if you search Supercoach Edge, you will find us there.
Very, very nice. I might add that video to the very end of the episode. So watch it all the way through. It's a bit of a, it's almost like a Marvel post-credit sequence, just featuring this bloke, Shoe Nice. Anyway, that brings us to the end of the show, Liam. So, thanks again for joining me and, commandeering through this episode as we approach the buys next week. Jeez, it's going to be fun, but we're going to celebrate because of those DPPs. We'll delve into that a little bit more, in more detail next week. But, until then, Liam, we'll catch you, listeners and viewers alike this time next week.
Another week closer to the buys. It'll be fun.
Hang on to your seats. I'm throwing
Mom deserves the best, and there's no better place to shop for Mother's Day than Whole Foods Market. They're your destination for unbeatable savings, from premium gifts to show-stopping flowers and irresistible desserts. Start by saving 33% with Prime on all body care and candles. Then get a 15-stem bunch of tulips for just $9.99 each with Prime. Round out Mom's menu with festive rosé, irresistible berry chantilly cake, and more special treats. Come celebrate Mother's Day at Whole Foods Market.
Imagine the softest sheets you've ever felt. Now imagine them getting even softer over time. That's what you'll feel with Boll & Branch's organic cotton sheets. In a recent customer survey, 96% replied that Boll & Branch sheets get softer with every wash. Start getting your best night's sleep in these sheets that get softer and softer for years to come. Try their sheets with a 30-night guarantee. Plus, get 15% off your first order at bollandbranch.com. Code BUTTERY. Exclusions apply. See site for details.
Mom deserves the best, and there's no better place to shop for Mother's Day than Whole Foods Market. They're your destination for unbeatable savings, from premium gifts to show-stopping flowers and irresistible desserts. Start by saving 33% with Prime on all body care and candles. Then get a 15-stem bunch of tulips for just $9.99 each with Prime. Round out Mom's menu with festive rosé, irresistible berry chantilly cake, and more special treats. Come celebrate Mother's Day at Whole Foods Market.